World Football at AFCON.
Yes, welcome to World Football at AFCON with me, Nishat Lada, as more quarterfinal places are booked at the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations. And it's been the most dramatic of match days. We've had our first penalty shootout. And what a shootout it proved to be. Huge congratulations to DR Congo, who beat Egypt 8-7 on penalties in San Pedro. What a night for the Leopards. And they will play Guinea in the last eight after their late 1-0 win over Equatorial Guinea in Abidjan.
We will give everything to score and to win the next match and next match and next match.
Yes, what a result for Guinea fans. Much more on Guinea's march to the quarterfinals in a moment. But we have to start with DR Congo's heart-stopping win over Egypt, and that's whichever side you were rooting for. So much tension in San Pedro. These were two teams who'd each drawn their three group games, and then they drew 1-1 against each other in normal tie in this last 16 tie. DRC had taken the lead through Meshack Elia, with Egypt equalising from the penalty spot, Mustafa Mohamed converting after Hegazi was adjudged to have been fouled by Batu Bonseka. It went to extra time. Egypt's Mohamed Hamdi was shown a second yellow in the first period, so the Pharaohs were down to 10 men. DRC came agonisingly close to scoring in the second period, but it did go to that dreaded penalty shootout. We got to 7-7 when we then had a goalkeeper shootout. Now, Gabaski, Egypt's goalie, he'd saved four spot kicks across three shootouts at the last AFCON finals. He walked up to take a penalty himself and he skied it. His DRC counterpart, Mbassi, walked up and won the battle of wills and scored to send his team into raptures and send Egypt out. And rather appropriately, I'm joined by former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakuanyan, what has been a pretty nervy night, I'm sure. Congratulations, Gabs. So tense throughout the match. Just tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, emotions were high up and down throughout the game, but I think now I'm so happy. Just if I knew this was going to happen, I could have been a lot more calmer, but because you can't predict anything at this AFCON. And I'm happy. I was pretty confident before the game because of the way Egypt have had injuries. But again, it just added more pressure onto the players. And I'm just glad they responded in a certain way. But we just can't seem to win in 90 minutes, which makes it a lot harder.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they had drawn all their group games. They drew this one. I mean, amazing scenes at the end. But this was a game that really they could have won. They were pounding that Egypt penalty box, weren't they? Certainly in extra time.
Yeah, and that's been a theme, you know, in this tournament. We've put a lot of teams under pressure, but we just can't seem to get that final bit correctly, you know. But again, I've got to give credit to the players because on paper, I think a lot of people had Egypt as the favourites in this game, but we still managed to hang in there and do a lot more, cause a lot of problems. When they went out to 10 men, I think we had the opportunity there to kill the game off. But, you know, we had to do it the hard way. And the main thing is to just be in the next round.
You had a big injury blow before kickoff with Gael Kakuta not appearing in the starting lineup. How difficult was that for Sebastian De Sabre, DR Congo's coach, to sort of change his plans? Because Kakuta's a really big part of DR Congo's team, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a massive, massive key player. And I think that brought doubt into my mind because I think the only issue we've had so far is probably the attacking side because we've not been finishing off chances. And I was confident we'll create chances, but when I heard he's pulled out last minute and there was a problem that he had, I thought, yeah, that's our hope gone because he's the one that creates and does all the magic. But, you know, again, I've got to just be happy that, you know, the player stepped up and a key player like that missing so late on as well. It was a late call and we still managed to do it. So hopefully it's not as bad as we're fearing and he can play a big part in the tournament still.
And a word on Meshack Elia, who got into the side probably because of Kakuta's injury. He played brilliantly today, didn't he?
He did. Meshack is a very good player. You know, he played a lot in the Shan because he was playing in Congo a few years back, but now he's playing in the Switzerland league in the league in Switzerland, and he just got Player of the Year in that league. So he's coming. He's a player coming with a lot of confidence. So He's not a player that I would have thought would not rise to the occasion, because he's been playing at a very high level throughout the season. So this is his reward to come into the tournament and also to get a goal in such a game of this sort of magnitude.
What about the penalty incident in normal time? Many people will feel that it was harsh. Ahmed Hegazi was adjudged to have been fouled in the box. What did you make of that incident?
I thought it was so soft. You know, I'm looking back and I just can't believe it was given. But at the time, I thought, you know, it's typical. And it will give Egypt the edge to carry on, and the heads will drop, but it didn't. So I was more pleased at the reaction more than anything. But I thought that was really soft.
DR Congo now in the quarterfinals. We'll talk about their chances in a moment. But just a line on Egypt. This was the one that everyone thought Mohamed Salah would go to Liverpool, get himself fit and come back for maybe the semi-final, maybe the final. Obviously, that's another dream gone for him for another year. Is this Egypt side going to go through a transition period now, do you think? Because a lot of the players are sort of in their 30s, maybe. Do you think it's the team that's going to have to rebuild?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to start again, you know, because they've been such a huge nation, rich with football tradition. Their fans are very passionate. But I think the side is now getting to that era where you have to start again and start finding new stars and just strip everything back. Because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of players hitting that peak of their career and the latter stages of their careers as well. So I think you have to freshen things up, and it's getting a little bit stale. They've got a way of playing, and they usually attack with a lot of pace. But now, obviously, the players are aging, and it's time to just get some new blood in the side. And I think it was clear to see today.
What about DR Congo then, Gabby? How far can this team go?
I think the key was first to get out the group and then see where it takes us. I think we did well to even get to the tournament, because we had a poor start to the qualifying stages. We lost the first couple of games. But now we're here. Sebastian De Sabre has got a strong lineup, a solid lineup. And if we improve in that finishing department, which we've got so much talent going forward, but it just doesn't seem quite to click at the moment. If we can get that bit right, I mean, we're competing with the best teams and we don't look out of place. So why not, you know? And you look at who we've got next, you will fancy us. I think we've got a chance to get at least to the semi-final. I think that's very, it is very achievable.
Well, it is Guinea that DR Congo will face in the quarterfinals. And that's after Mohamed Bayo's dramatic late header against Equatorial Guinea. Now, I have a great stat for you, Gabby. The goal was scored after 97 minutes and 38 seconds. And that makes it the latest winning goal in a knockout game in Africa Cup of Nations history. So there you go. It wasn't a classic match, to be fair, but it did have its own drama. Equatorial Guinea was shown a straight red in the second half. And despite being down to 10 men, they then had the best chance of scoring when they were handed a penalty. Now, I would have banked my house on Emilio Nswe scoring it, but he missed. He hit the post. And then Guinea got that winner in the dying seconds. Gabby, Guinea were your dark horses. Yeah. Equatorial Guinea were mine. So well done on that little victory. Did Guinea deserve to win that game, did you think?
I think just about, because they had more shots on target. I mean, it was an equal game. Like you said, it definitely wasn't a classic. I think you can see both teams were nervous and quite edgy. Possession was fair. But I thought Guinea just seemed they had a little bit more, especially after the sending off. I expected them to do a bit more to win the game. And in the end, it was a good header, to be fair, that got the victory. But they had to hang in there till late. And credit to Equatorial Guinea, because they weren't expected to do as well as they've done. And Sue, again, I would have bet everything as well that he would have scored the goal. And it seemed to be written in the stars, but it just wasn't to be for them today. And Guinea are a good team, but I still think they've got more in the locker. I expected them to be playing a lot more open football, but they seem to be content on just being solid and staying in games and just doing enough to get through.
Emilio Nswe has given everything to Equatorial Guinea, hasn't he, over the years? He puts on that shirt and he fights for his nation. How will he reflect on this Nations Cup? Because Equatorial Guinea and him principally, he's still the leading scorer in this tournament, have given so much to this AFCON, haven't they?
Yeah, no, they have. And him especially, he's been there for such a long time. And, you know, you forget how old he is as well. He's 34. And he's given everything to Equatorial Guinea. He's been sort of the marksman of the country. It's a country that it hasn't got stars. As he said himself, you know, they haven't got any stars and they all work for each other. And he's been the leader. And for him to miss that penalty, he'll probably, you know, be really upset with himself, but probably as the sort of player he is. But I think his nation can be proud of him because he's produced the goals. And as you mentioned, he's still currently the top scorer of the tournament. So personally, he's had a good tournament. And as a collective, they've done well to get to this stage.
They certainly have. And as always, we love hearing from our listeners on World Football at AFCON. So do get involved throughout the tournament. Send us your questions with a WhatsApp voice note. Tell us your name, where you're from and your comment to +44 800 032 0470. Well, these last 16 ties are coming thick and fast, and there are two fascinating matches on Monday. First up at 17 GMT, it's Cape Verde versus Mauritania in Abidjan, two of the surprise packages at AFCON 2023. And then at 20 GMT, the holders Senegal face the hosts Ivory Coast in Yamoussoukro. Gabby, we talk about heavyweight contests, and Senegal, the reigning champions, against this tournament's hosts Ivory Coast will be one to savour. The Elephants have been given a second chance, haven't they, after just sneaking into the last 16. Do you think they can beat a Senegal side who've just won three matches out of three in the group phase?
I think, yeah, you have to say they can because of the way this AFCON's gone. It's just been so unpredictable. But I think from what we've seen, Senegal look the strongest team in the tournament. They haven't come out of first gear. They look accomplished. They're getting the job done without breaking sweat, really, because they've still got that spine in their team. They're an aging team also, but they've got world-class players on show. You know, you've got Koulibaly, who's been there and done it. He's still looking strong. Mane's not scoring, free scoring, but he's still working as hard as ever and making it difficult. So, I mean, I can't see Senegal losing this game, but I think with Ivory Coast being the hosts and being given a second chance, and we saw how furious their fans were with their performance in the group stages. So they've got all to prove. And for me, I think that makes it a fascinating encounter.
The thing is, they don't have a coach, do they? Because they sacked their coach before they realised they might still qualify. How will that change dynamics?
I mean, it can work one or two ways. You can lack sort of direction if you haven't got a leader. But in terms of for them, it probably the shackles are off now. Some players may be given a chance that haven't been given a chance. They may change things and play with a bit more freedom. So it could work two ways in terms of how they go out there. So that's why this game is very intriguing, because you're not actually sure what approach they'll use. Will they change formations or will they go the same as they've been so far?
And before that Senegal-Ivory Coast contest, it's Cape Verde against Mauritania in Abidjan. Both these teams have done brilliantly to just reach the last 16, haven't they? Cape Verde have been here before, but it's a first for Mauritania. We have to remember, Gabby, that Cape Verde actually topped their group, a group that included Ghana and Egypt. So are they the favourites for you?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Cape Verde would 100% be the favourites for this one. Mauritania have done well to get here, and it's a historic moment for them, just turning up, you know. But I think in terms of on paper and the way I see it panning out, I think Cape Verde would have too much for them. Just from what I've seen, I think they look accomplished, they look solid, and they look dangerous going forward, and they're playing some great football. So they've deserved their place here, and I think it will make sense to see them go to the quarterfinals.
So a quick prediction, Ivory Coast or Senegal?
I can't see past Senegal.
And Cape Verde or Mauritania?
Oh, Cape Verde. I think it's an obvious one, but Cape Verde, I can't see these two sides who have been so efficient to not get the job done.
Okay, Gabby, thank you. Great to have you with us. I hope you have great dreams of DR Congo tonight. That's former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakawani. And thank you for listening. If you want to listen to more world football at AFCON, go to the BBC World Service website or BBC Sounds and search for BBC World Football at AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.